The law of contrast. Have you ever taken your car to the mechanic and he tells you that you might need new brakes, a new transmission, a new fan belt, and the timing sounds off? You go away thinking, oh man, I'm sunk. I might as well just buy a new car. Then when you come back, he tells you, oh, you just need new brakes. You feel liberated, only having to pay $300 for what could have been a $3,000 repair job. Imagine if he had told you he thought he could fix it for $300 and the bill ended up being $3,000. This is the law of contrast in action. The perception of value will always trump price. If you get the old excuse that it's too expensive, then you have blown your presentation. Your goal is to have the value exceed the price or the benefit to exceed their time commitment. The law of contrast explains how we are affected when we are introduced to two vastly different alternatives or options in succession. We know that contrasting two alternatives can distort or amplify our perceptions of price, time, or effort. Generally, if the second item is quite different from the first, we will tend to see them even more differently than they actually are. As a power persuader, you can use this contrast to steer your audience toward the object of your persuasion. Contrast works in many arenas. You could contrast just about anything and immediately see its effects. Imagine you're at a resort in the mountains. There are three pools. One is a spring-fed pool, cold, a heated pool, warm, and a jacuzzi, hot. What happens when you are swimming in the pool and jump into the cold, stream-fed pool? On the flip side, what if you jump from the pool into the jacuzzi? Both times you originated in the warm pool, but had two completely different reactions. This is the law of contrast. Any product or service can be contrasted to appear very different or have more value than it actually has. The use of contrast is based on our perception of items or events that happen one right after the other. If you've had a rotten day because you found out you're losing your job and you come home to a new scratch on your car, you will have a different reaction than if you are having a great day because you're getting a promotion and then come home to the scratch on your car. It's the same scratch, but there are very different perceptions and reactions to it. Contrast is used in negotiations. When we offer a really low or high bid, or when we ask for $200 and only expect $50, that is contrast. What if you thought it was a 60-minute meeting and then it only took 30 minutes? What if the 15-minute meeting lasted 30 minutes? This is all about human perception. The human mind has to find a benchmark or comparison to make judgments, especially when we are talking about unfamiliar situations or new products. People need to make comparisons with their past experience and knowledge. The brain will always attempt to contrast your product or service. Is it the best or worst? Cheapest or most expensive? Is your product a safe or risky choice? Or is it familiar or strange? By presenting your prospects with contrast, you are creating those comparisons for them. The mind can't process everything at once, so it develops shortcuts to help make decisions. Instead of making a completely internal judgment, we look for boundaries, patterns, or polar opposites. We want to know the difference between our options, so we naturally contrast the two items. We mentally create a value or price in our mind from the highest to lowest. Do you want your prospects to compare your product or service to a secondhand used car or to a Rolls Royce? You get to decide where you want them to start their benchmark. How much is a cup of coffee really worth? When Starbucks launched their coffee stores, they had to deal with the perception of pricing. Why would consumers spend three times more for a cup of coffee? They set up their stores using high-end decor and created an environment that had coffee that originated from different parts of the world, almost like a winery. This changed the perception of price. We also see expensive juice or health drinks take on the look of an expensive bottle of wine. We see software packaging that is 100 times bigger than the software, but that also adjusts the perception of price. If they just gave us a single CD or an instant download, the perception of price would be much lower for a new piece of software in a large box. Airlines also contrast news to you one piece at a time. They will say there is a slight delay, but they add they should be ready to go in a few minutes. Then a later announcement comes stating that, well, everything is fine, they don't want to take any chances, so they are going to replace the part. They come back on the loudspeaker and say they are close to being finished and will announce when they are ready to go. The next announcement you hear is that they are waiting for final clearance and will be taking off shortly. These small announcements, in relation to each other keep the passengers calmer and more peaceful than if the airline had just come right out and announced a 2-hour delay. We also see the contrast technique used at large amusement parks. If we hear ahead of time how long the lines are going to be, we won't stand in them. You look to see how long the lines are, then finding them reasonable enough, you get in. After you think you are almost there, you see another selection of ropes and people. This happens 3 more times until finally 2 hours later, you are at the front of the line. They're also using contrast when we see a sign that says 90 minutes wait and we only have to wait 45 minutes. When using the law of contrast, keep in mind the powerful differences between positive and negative information. Psychologists have asserted for years that people automatically and subconsciously have extremely high expectations for good over the bad. Because of this consistent tendency, negative information, when it comes, always seem to be given considerable weight because it is such a jarring contrast to what is expected. For example, have you ever seen a salesperson get you all excited about some incredible product you're about to purchase? You're totally thrilled with all the things this product is going to do for you, then BAM! The salesperson hits you with a ghastly price. Suddenly, the hefty price tag, just one negative detail, outweighs the product's 20 terrific features. Negative information has taken precedence over all the positive information. In fact, now it's consuming your thoughts. You drive home thinking about how this precious item is going to cost you an arm and a leg. Time can erode your ability to use the law of contrast. The key to this law is that the two contrasting items must be presented one right after the other. This has an effect on group meetings and decision making. If in a meeting you put forth a great idea right after another great idea, it won't have the impact it would have had if it followed someone else's poor idea. Likewise, if we are talking to a beautiful woman or man at a party, and we are then joined by an unattractive woman or man, the beautiful person will seem even more beautiful, and the less attractive person will seem even less attractive. So there are different types of contrast. Let's examine the relationship between different categories of the law of contrast. One is sweetening the pot. When you can sweeten the pot, you triple the value. Sweetening the pot is a technique often used on infomercials or by marketers to make the deal appear sweeter or valued more than it actually is. That is, making the prospect believe they're getting an exceptionally good offer. What can you add on as an incentive? What can you give as a bonus? What do you have that will add value to your product or service? It could be an added feature, a larger discount, free delivery, gift wrapping, batteries, an extended warranty, or even free consulting. Whatever it is, use it to create and contrast a higher value. Think about the last infomercial you saw on late night TV. You watch them display and demonstrate the product and you start to get interested. You begin to think about how this product will really make your life easier. They have not told you the price, but when they finally do, it's much higher than you thought. You were hoping to spend around $99, but the announcer said it was $499. Your heart drops, but you keep watching because you're really getting into this product and how it will change your life forever. Oh, wait a minute. They're giving a special deal. Scarcity. There's a temporary price reduction. This is your lucky day. Now they're offering it for $297. It's a good deal, but still a little expensive. Wait. They're adding 3 additional items to the package, an added value of $350. You can hardly believe it. You'll get over $800 worth of products for only $297. You're really interested now, and you're just about ready to buy, but wait. If you order now, you can even make 3 easy payments of $99 for the next 3 months. You can't believe your luck, so you order right away. You were thinking about spending only about $99, and you ended up spending triple that amount. $297 to be exact. Why? Because of the law of contrast. You were going to get over $800 worth of product, and the deal kept getting better. This law is critical for you to understand when showing others the value of your product. No one buys unless they feel like they're getting the value for their money. When you sweeten the pot, you add bonus items to make the deal more and more valuable. We could all learn from the example of a high school bake sale. When the cashier told one group of customers they could purchase 1 cupcake and 2 cookies for a total cost of 75 cents, 40% of the customers bought. The cashier then told another group of customers that they could purchase 1 cupcake for 75 cents. However, a few seconds later, she added that because of the special they had been going on that day, 2 more cookies would be included as a bonus. However, a few seconds later, she added that because of the special they had going on for that night, Two more cookies would be included as a bonus. By the end of the night, 70% of the customers purchased cupcakes and cookies when the 3-for-the-price-of-1 technique was used. Even though it was really the exact same deal, it's all in the presentation. You have to sweeten the pot. You see this technique used in supermarkets and other advertisements when a company plans their packaging strategy to show contrast between before and after prices. You may see diapers that have the save 20% slashed out and replaced with save 40%. Or maybe their method is buy 5 and will give you another one free. It might also be that they have the 16-ounce slashed out with the new 20-ounce written in for the same price. Whatever form it takes, this is an example of sweetening the pot. The law of contrast in action. It isn't the actual price that is paid, but the add-ons that seem to make it such a better deal. Put yourself in a mall candy store buying 1 pound of chocolate candy for your sweetheart. The young lady at the counter scoops up the chocolates and places it on the scale. She notices she doesn't have enough and starts to add more. Now, the other alternative is that she dumps all the chocolates on the scale and begins to take them away. Which one will leave you the most satisfied? In the first scenario, you would feel as if you were getting more and the deal was being sweetened. Whereas, under the second set of circumstances, you would feel like you were being robbed. So let me give you some examples of adjusting value. For example, bonuses. 3 bonuses worth $25 each have more value than to get 1 bonus worth $75. Your product. Having all your product arrive in one box has less value than receiving 3 separate shipments. Retail. Keeping the high prices at a grocery store increases the perception of value and savings when the savings is shown on the receipt. We feel like we're getting a better deal on a car when we see the large retail price, and then we get a large rebate. It is easier to swallow the monthly payments on a large purchase rather than seeing the whole price tag up front. Gas. Getting a 10-cent discount when you pay cash is easier to swallow than a 10-cent surcharge for using your credit card. Payroll. There is higher perceived income when you separate all the benefits on the check versus putting it all in one large sum. Then there's reducing it to the ridiculous. This technique involves paring down your request to something that seems more manageable, easier to comprehend, or easier to monetize. Let's say you're trying to convince someone to purchase a life insurance policy. The client wants a $250,000 policy, and you feel that's not high enough for his needs. To adequately take care of his family, you suggest a $500,000 policy. His perception is that the monthly payment for the $500,000 policy is too high, so you break it down for him, telling him that for an extra 50 cents a day or the cost of a can of soda, he can insure himself and adequately take care of his family if something were to happen to him. With this contrast, your client can see that the extra 50 cents is worth it to have the extra $250,000 in coverage. You have reframed the request into simple terms to help your prospect see it fitting into his way of life. If you're getting resistance from a coworker to participate in a new project, you could say, "We're only looking for your help for 10 minutes a day or 45 minutes a week." Then there's DITF. Door in the face is one of the most common techniques for implementing the law of contrast. Basically, initially large and almost unreasonable request is made, likely to be declined. Hence, the door slammed in the face as the prospect rejects the proposal. Then, a second, smaller, and more reasonable request is made. People accept the second request more readily than if they had just been asked outright because the contrast between the two requests makes the second one seem so much better. The technique is effective because social standards state each concession must be exchanged with another concession. When you allow a rejection, it is considered a concession. The person you are persuading will then feel obligated to agree with your smaller request. The reason DITF is so effective is because society and the law of obligation direct us that each concession must be given a concession. When you give them a concession, they will be more inclined to give you a concession. This has also been called the social responsibility model. What happens is your prospect turns down the initial request. They subconsciously feel guilty for not helping and don't want to let you down again. Sometimes the feelings of guilt drive them to comply with the second request to rid themselves of those negative feelings. They also might think they will feel worse if they don't comply with the second request. Demonstrating this point, researchers first asked college students to donate blood every 2 months for 3 consecutive years. requiring a long-term commitment of not only time, but also a physical and emotional responsibility. The request overwhelmingly was turned down. The next day, the same students were asked to donate blood just one time. 49% agreed. The control group, where the students were only approached with the second request, "Will you donate today?" only demonstrated a 31% compliance rate. The main reason the door in the face technique is so effective is because the contrast between the two requests makes your prospects feel like they are getting more or less than they would have if they'd gone without adjusting their perceptions. The main reason the door in the face technique is so effective is because the contrast between the two requests makes your prospects feel like they are getting more or less than if you didn't adjust their perceptions. They feel like they've made a fair compromise. Well, you get exactly what you wanted in the first place. I know many times you don't feel like playing the negotiation game. You might be thinking, why doesn't everyone just start with their real, final, first offer? It sounds good in theory, but that does not work because the other party is expecting to negotiate. If you accept their first offer too fast, that will create a high emotional toll. They will think they could have done better, even if they got a great deal. Your goal is to contrast the other party with a high or low number to establish a starting point to the negotiation. The game is mutual concessions. You give a little, and they're inclined to give a little. If you don't play the rules of the game, then you can't win the game. Your goal is to create as much room as possible when you start the negotiation. Here's an example. Pretend your local scout troop is canvassing door-to-door to ask donations to the scouting program. They ask you to donate $100, saying that your next-door neighbor has donated this amount. After some discussion, the scout asks for a $25 donation. You feel relief and give the $25, and you feel lucky that you got away with giving less than your neighbors. In another study, subjects were solicited for a large donation, and after they refused, they were asked for a smaller donation. Using door in the face increased compliance by 17%. In these examples, the second request seems much more logical and reasonable in comparison to the outrageous first offer. We are creating a perceptual contrast whereby we are defining what we think the standard of comparison should be. When the second request comes along, it seems much smaller than the first request, and in our case, much smaller than the request would seem if presented alone. In my university class, students were learning about the different laws of persuasion and were asked to choose one of the laws and write a letter to their parents requesting money. They decided the best way to write a letter to their parents requesting money was using the law of contrast. Here's a sample from somebody's daughter. "Dear Mom and Dad, I hope this letter finds you both well and happy. I wish I could say that is how I feel. I know you love me, but it's hard to come to you in such an embarrassing situation. Now, I don't want you to worry too much. I can see Mom now already skimming through the letter to find out exactly what is wrong, so I guess I'll cut to the chase. I'm really worn out, but I'm getting better. At least I have a place to stay, especially during the cold winter weather. The last couple weeks I've been sleeping on the streets looking for food and shelter. I finally met this nice man who's letting me stay in his room for free. It is sure nice to have a roof over my head. Sometimes I still get wet at night, though, because there's a crack in the wall on my side of the bed. But with five of us sharing the room, we've got some body heat going, and that helps out. We hope that between the five of us, we can make rent this month. They sure have been nice letting me stay here and let me keep out of sight. It seems that there's some type of warrant out for me, and I'm unfortunately on the run, as they say. I'm afraid I can't tell you exactly where I am. I don't want to endanger you with too much information in case the authorities come to question you. As you may guess, I'm in a desperate need of a large sum of funding so that I can settle my accounts before another more ruthless party begins to hunt me down. I was hoping for, but not counting on, your assistance. I know I've done wrong, but I plead for your forgiveness and prayers. Just kidding. I wanted you to see my problems in the proper perspective. I crashed my car last weekend. No one was hurt. I did have $300 damage to my car, though. I was wondering if you could send me the money so I could get back on my feet. Love you, Jill." In the negotiation process, the door in the face technique can be a powerful tool. Watch a skilled property developer. He may look for quality properties that have been on the market for some months, often because the seller's high asking price of, say, $500,000. To drive down the seller's expectation, the property developer employs an agent who, acting anonymously, displays great enthusiasm for the property and then makes a very low aggressive offer, say $350,000, which the seller angrily rejects. The developer then moves in and offers a much more reasonable price, say $430,000, which, after some negotiating, is accepted. Labor negotiators frequently deploy this tool as well. They begin with extreme demands that they expect to be turned down. Abruptly, they repeat a series of smaller demands or concessions, which will then be easily accepted. These smaller demands are the real target of the negotiation. Some real estate companies maintain what they call setup properties. These are rundown properties listed at inflated prices, which are used to benefit the genuine properties in the company's inventory by contrast. Agents show customers these setup properties first, and then they show them the homes they really want to sell. Both of them listed at the same price, the second home looks much better in comparison to the dump they first saw. The door in the face technique can also save you from lots of headache and hassle. You could get people to go from hating you to thanking you for the same exact thing. For example, when I sign my college students a 10-page paper, it makes the students tense and vocal. They complain about time, length, and font size. You name it, they bring it up. I was getting tired of the complaining, so I changed the way I approached the subject of the paper using the law of contrast. I bring up the paper and wait for the moans, but then I tell them this 20-page paper will have to include the following. The uproar starts, 20 pages? I won't have time for that. I then graciously comply and tell them that if they promise to do a great, concise paper with the proper research, I will make it only 10 pages. The cheers erupt and everyone is happy. The students see the 10-page paper as a great deal compared to the 20-page paper. Now the students thank me rather than give me grief. So here's some interesting pricing facts using the law of contrast. 68% said cost was not the deciding factor for the purchase. Our mind tends to focus on the right-hand digits over the left-hand digits, the dollars versus the cents. Most consumers tend to round down when they see a price. You know, $9.97 is $9. A study reduced the price of an item by 14 cents. One was 89 cents to 75 cents, and one was 93 cents to 79 cents. Most people felt the second price, the 93 to the 79, was a greater reduction. Consumers tend to like and underestimate odd prices over even prices. Mail order catalogs tried ending prices in 88 cents, 99 cents, or 0 cents. When 99 cents was used, it outsold other endings by 8%. Other researchers found ending the price in 9 increased sales on average by 10%. The door in the face principle comes into play in our everyday lives. It can even influence how we perceive the physical attractiveness of our partner. One study tested to see whether we might think our own spouses or partners were less attractive because of the media bombardment with ads showing very attractive models. In the study, students were first shown pictures of models before rating the attractiveness of members of the opposite sex who were not models. These students rated the non-models as significantly less attractive than did students who had not first looked at the pictures of the models. An interesting study proves this point. Volunteers went door-to-door to solicit money for a made-up charity. It was a bowling fundraiser called Strike Against Cancer. Everyone was trained to deliver a presentation at the door. They were trained to say, "I'm working as a volunteer coordinator to help organize the charity bowling event." There were three requests, large, medium, and small. The large were looking for volunteers to help with the event. It takes about 10 hours a week. Would you be interested? Moderate, we're looking for people to take part in our event. Participants need to raise at least $30 in pledges and come bowl with us. Would you be interested? Small, since you can't participate, would you like to sponsor me for the event? Any amount would be fine. The two things learned from this study was the larger the first request, the higher the compliance for the second request. The second thing learned is that friends were always more compliant than strangers. Another example of DITF uses the same concept with a different product, funeral caskets. Funeral directors exploit the DITF principle to get families of the deceased to spend more money. Directors show the deceased families the expensive model first, and then they show them a very plain cheap one. They know the family members are grieving and will do anything for their loved one. Then they were shown the high-end model complete with a DVD player. The grieving loved ones are often shocked by the contrast of the two caskets and rebound back to a more expensive casket. One study revealed that by showing the most expensive item first, it increased the amount of sale by 45%. Automobile dealers use the contrast principle. They wait until the final price for the new car has been negotiated. before suggesting one option after another that might be added on. After committing to $15,000, what's an extra $200 for undercoating? Most people aren't even sure what that is. Or an extended warranty or an entertainment system. The strategy is to bring up the extras independently of one another. After you've already decided to buy a $1,000 couch, what is $70 for fabric protection? People will always pay more for accessories or add-ons after the purchase has been made. These principles also apply when you're in a position where you have to compare people. The law of contrast is constantly at work, even influencing judgments in job interviews, ideas, and speaking order. If you first interview an outstanding candidate and then immediately follow you interview someone who is less favorable, you will be inclined to underrate the second person even more than if you had not interviewed the outstanding candidate first. Certainly the reverse is also true. If an average candidate follows someone who has interviewed very poorly, you may view that individual as better than average. We see diet ads that use contrast to convince us to use their products. The before and after pictures are intentionally made to look like stark opposites. The before picture is in black and white with the person slouching, frowning, and pale. The after picture is of the same person in full color with a smile, erect posture, and tan skin. We look at the two pictures, see the comparison, and decide we want to be more like the after picture. Then there's the JND, otherwise known as the just noticeable difference. Many times we can fly under the radar with the contrast principle. There is a theory called the just noticeable difference, which means the minimum amount of difference in the intensity of the stimulus that can be detected. That means the minimal amount of change the brain can handle before it begins to notice. What does that mean? How much can you raise the price of your product without anyone noticing? How many ounces can you take out of a can of soup before people start to catch on? When you raise the price of a product, you don't want anyone to notice. Many marketers would rather change the packaging and offer less of the product than resort to charging more. When we don't notice a difference, we think we're getting the same deal. Watching a sunset would be below the JND. We really can't see the sun move down the horizon as we watch it. Gas prices going up another 10 cents is not noticed until it breaks the dollar threshold, maybe going from $4 to $5. Is the yogurt cup now 2.9 ounces or 3 ounces? We don't notice, especially since the cup size has not changed. But the bottom of the cup is more concave. Another example of J&D is a room that slowly brightens or gets darker. Just the opposite is true if we want to promote a new, larger size product or a significant price reduction. When you put a product on sale, you will do the opposite and want everyone to notice. In this case, we want to pass that threshold and make the change extremely noticeable. This is true for taste. Companies want the best taste for the lowest cost. The quality of the ingredients causes people to notice or not notice the quality of the product. So how do we use the law of contrast? Start high. Make sure your initial request is really big or small, but not so big that it's totally unrealistic, but big enough that you know you will get the no. Then, follow this initial request with smaller offers that will bring about the result you really desired all along. For example, fundraising organizations often send letters asking for donations in amounts that are usually pretty high for people's pocketbooks. Soon after the letter is sent, the organization places a follow-up telephone call. The person making the call asks whether the letter was received and then makes a request for smaller donations. Then there's timing. For contrast to be effective, it is important that two scenarios, options, or offers are presented one right after another. Researchers argue that the timing between the initial and follow-up requests influences the successfulness of using this technique. Specifically, in order to increase compliance, the delay between the two requests must be short. If there is too much of a delay between the first and second request, your prospect may not remember that you are comparing the two items or requests, and your ability to persuade will falter. Then there's the situation. Situation applies to all of the laws of persuasion and certainly to the law of contrast. You have to think about the situation that you are in before you can choose which method to use and to what degree to implement the law. It is easy to see that the attitude and feelings of a funeral attendee will be different from those of a wedding guest. Well, there are two major limitations that could cause DITF to backfire during a persuasion encounter. The first is the insult zone. If your request is so unrealistic that it's not believable or insulting, it will backfire. The second is DITF will always work better when your request is not selfish or all about you, but the request should either benefit them directly or benefit society. How about a case study? I was working with a client to increase sales of their high-end products. They had their basic product that sold well, but their higher-end, which was most profitable, product was not selling as well. This AV company had two options for their equipment. They had tried sales and consumer intercepts to sell more of the higher-end product. It helped, but not as much as they wanted. They felt the higher price option was better for the consumer and had a better value. Using the law of contrast, what would you recommend? To make the higher price option seem more valuable, I recommended that they offer an even higher priced option. I told them to create a higher end product that had more value, more bonuses, a longer guarantee that would contrast the new middle product. The middle price product would look like a better deal contrasting the new higher price product. By using the law of contrast, they reached their sales goals of selling the product they really wanted to sell. If you want additional resources, you know where to go, maximinfluence.com. There you can find a report on your ability to motivate yourself and others and the psychology of motivation and using the law of contrast.